This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy days to us all. Thank you for tuning in and hanging out with us. Just PS is on the board. It's Wednesday, so Matt Rothschild joining me today. We got a couple of weeks to catch up on. Matt, welcome back. 855-752-4842.
Always a pleasure to be with you, Dom.
Yeah, man. Always appreciate your perspective, my dear friend. I guess let's move on topically here, and we're going to get to some of the legal issues as it pertains to the president-elect. But I know folks get real tired all the time with too much Trump all the time. Well, you got to have a little bit, but we'll try to, you know, moderate it as best
we can.
Eat
your lima beans.
Oh, lima. You know, obviously eat your broccoli, but I actually like broccoli.
Broccoli's great.
Lima beans? No, not so much. So terrible. I remember when we were kids, we used to get my parents would get the frozen vegetable medley, yeah. You know.
It's got carrots. Those are fine. It's got peas. Okay.
Acceptable, right. But those things, my sister would swallow them whole. Just couldn't stand them. They're just so nasty.
The texture is so weird.
No, it's just terrible. So, all right, there you go. I like it. Broccoli. Eat your lima beans, folks. We're going to have to get to it. But Joe Biden, Matt. Was interviewed and had some things to say reflecting on his dropping out. Washington Post reported that he says he thinks he could have beaten Donald Trump. He had an interview with USA Today. Biden said it was presumptuous for him to say that, but he thinks that he could have won against Trump based on the polling. He also goes on to say, asked if he had the vigor to perform another 4 years. I don't know. He said that he wasn't looking to be president when I was 85, 86 years old. Wait, what? Then why did you run, man?
Right.
And so I did talk about passing the baton, but I don't know. Who the hell knows? So far, so good. But who knows what I'm going to be when I'm 86 years old?
Oof. That's pretty damning, seems to me. I mean, the idea that he's so deluded that he thinks that he could have beat Trump after that horrible, embarrassing debate performance.
Yeah, what polls was he looking at?
I don't think he was getting good polls all along. According to an article I saw in the Wall Street Journal, his staff was hiding everything from him, including his pollsters were hiding everything from him. And this idea that after that abysmal performance that he could somehow, you know, rise up and beat Trump, I think he's just kidding himself. Trump would have gotten even more seats than Trump got already. I don't know what Biden's thinking there. And then the confession that, you know, maybe he couldn't do it for another 4 years,
right,
which is what all America saw the night of that debate, was there's no way this guy can be president for another 4 years. And he hasn't been an effective communicator for at least the last 3 years. I mean, he has made no connection with the voters. He hasn't had press conferences. He hasn't had cabinet meetings. You know, maybe he can give a speech occasionally in front of the teleprompter, but he hasn't engaged with the American people, so he wasn't able to sell the good stuff that he did. That was part of the problem that Kamala Harris inherited from him, unfortunately. So, yeah, I'm just so done with Joe Biden right now. I just don't want to hear from him.
Oh, and it's tough. I said all along, I'd have voted for him no matter what, because if he was the guy, he was the guy. I'm not going to vote for Trump. Trump is Trump, and we're going to talk about that and the chaos that will obviously ensue. It's already here. It never really left. It continues to be here. And we got to be careful. I got to be careful in the sense that we don't want to sensationalize it too much, but we do have to cover it. The guy is saying things. We're going to have to, you know, bring it up. We're going to have to talk about it, and I'm going to tell you all why it's crazy what this guy is doing. But, you know, in with regards to President Biden, what, dude? Really? I mean, how could you have this same thought, you know, in this interview at the same time? Yeah, I could have beat Trump, but, you know, the polls were looking good. But I don't know if I could have made it. I talked about passing the baton. Who the hell knows? I mean, that's not the kind of commitment I'm looking for in a chief executive,
no.
Man.
It's a little nonchalant, too, you know. Who the hell knows? Well, man, you were running for the most important position in this country and maybe in the world. Uh-huh. You didn't step aside in 2022 and let Kamala Harris drive for 2 years. You didn't get out of the race after the 2022 election so they could add an open primary and fought it out among themselves to see who the best successor, mm-hmm. the best candidate might be. And this is just a kind of egotist gone wrong, man, just gone off the deep end.
Well, isn't that... It seems like this is prevalent among political types. Perhaps you know anybody who succeeds a level gets to a level of success in their industry or in their field, right?
It's an occupational hazard of politicians, especially.
Especially,
well, especially when you've been in that world for 5 decades.
Yeah, that's a long time.
It's a long time.
But I mean, you go do something else. I mean, you know, Carter did okay when he stepped back. He only mm-hmm. lost the election. And he kept on going. Obviously, a little younger than Joe Biden will be when he's out of office. But I think of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. You know, and Biden even back in 2020 said he viewed himself as a bridge. Well, I mean, yeah, man, that's great. You know, fill the gap.
But they got to go someplace. Otherwise, it's not a bridge.
It's a bridge to nowhere, man.
I mean, he blew up the bridge, man. I mean, he didn't give us that bridge. And so, I mean, I agree with you. Ruth Bader Ginsburg hung on too long. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden hung on too long. A lot of athletes hang on too long. Yeah, I mean, you got to find a way. You know, life goes on after your moment of glory. You know, or your 4 years of glory, or your 40 years of glory, whatever the hell it is.
And perhaps it's easy for us to kind of quarterback this thing right now and talk about it. You know, when will you know, Matt? You know, when will I know? Jess, when will I know when my time is up? You know what I mean? You got to have a certain level of perhaps of self-awareness or you know, it understanding that it, you know, you got to pass that baton. Bring people into the room. And as we see with the Democratic Party, at least on some of these committees, with AOC, you know, getting beat by like 40 some votes on that committee hearing and giving it to the guy with throat cancer who's like 75 years old. I mean, how is that preparing the next generation? But I, you know, that's not, of course it's not. I think there's going to be a lot of self-indulgence, let's call it, Matt. You know, everyone thinks they're the most important person in the room, especially in these kinds of things. But the other side of that coin, though, Nancy Pelosi, very effective even as an elder Speaker of the House.
But she should, you know, you should know when it's time to share power. She stepped down and is sharing power right now. Schumer should step down and share power. I mean, I was for AOC taking over that, you know, that committee. And yet, you know, they had kind of a pity vote for the guy who got it instead, you know, but everyone who's in a position of power, whether you're in a nonprofit, whether you're at a radio station, whether you're in politics or whether you're in athletics, you know, there comes a time when you're not performing as well as you could have before. And when you should just let other people get some power and give it up, you know, have some fun time with your family, as you always say you're going to do, or have a hobby for God's sake and indulge yourself. Go golfing, play tennis, watch birds, do something.
And go spend time with family. There's a lot of that going on. And real quick on a side, I know you're a big bird fan, Matt. I did see some of the new tech for the bird feeders out there, little cameras on them. And it's just an amazing thing to see all these little birds all the time. And folks are really digging it, man. So
yeah, a friend of mine just showed me a one of those devices they attach to their window. They put the bird seed out. The bird comes to the window and they get a message on their phone that you've got a picture of the bird and identification of the bird, man. There you go.
How fun is that? Now,
that's good.
When you're retired, Joe, you got all the time in the world to go birding with Matt. But, you know, come on, man. You're supposed to be a bridge, not a wall. You know, and that was unfortunate. And now we're dealing with those ramifications. But the news being, come on, Joe. Come on, yeah. Joe. That wasn't going
to
happen.
You know, I'd also like to hear from Kamala Harris. I mean, she got, you know, millions and millions of votes, just missed becoming president. She's mm-hmm. the putative leader of the Democratic Party. I thought she handled herself with tremendous grace and class and professionalism and worked really hard. And I just want to hear more from her, whether she decides to run for president again or run for governor of California, whatever she's doing. I'd like to hear more from her.
Yeah.
And less from Biden.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen regardless, given the ages of both of these people. Certainly. And I think it's we talk about the grace and the ability of Kamala Harris. And I think, you know, do we say that because she's a woman? You know what I mean? Because to sit up there, if this was a man doing that, I think there is a difference. There is absolutely a difference. The way she's always got to be better. She's got to be smarter. She's got to be more graceful, more articulate. You know, this is the way that it seems to be. And to contrast how she presents her arguments and her policies and her philosophies compared to how Donald Trump presents his
right. And
thought.
I think for a lot of women and for a lot of black women, you know, who watch that debate and yep. watch her just, you know, mop the floor with yep. Trump and all her qualifications. And then, you know, she loses. I mean, it's just like, holy smokes, what do we got to do, you know, to get respect around here?
Well, a lot of things could have happened differently, but here's where we're at now. 855-752-4842. All right. The president-elect, he has asked the Supreme Court to intervene in his hush money, as CBSNews.com reports it. I prefer to think of it as his election interference payoff case. Mm-hmm. In New York ahead of his scheduled sentencing for Friday. He's supposed to be sentenced on Friday at 9:30 a.m. on 34 felony counts. ABC concludes their reporting on it that Justice Sonia Sotomayor, who oversees requests for emergency relief arising from the Second Circuit, has ordered Manhattan prosecutors, that would be Alvin Bragg and company, to respond to Trump's bid by Thursday, tomorrow at 10 a.m. Matt, we assumed this was going to happen. It has now happened. What are your predictions for tomorrow at 10?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, you know, Trump is doing everything to avoid accountability. We're never going to get accountability for this guy, for all the crimes that he was convicted of and for the bigger crimes that happened on January 6th that we're not going to know about. But in this so-called hush money case, you know, his lawyers have the audacity to say this is going to do insufferable harm to the presidency. I mean, what are they talking about? This
he's already
before.
Done that.
Yeah. Right. And so, but maybe they'll get their way from the U.S. Supreme Court, because after all, this was the group, not Sotomayor, but this was the group that gave him presidential immunity and defined that as broadly as possible. So nothing would surprise me by the U.S. Supremes.
No doubt about that. And I would just specify and articulate to the Manhattan prosecutors, as they mentioned yesterday or the day before, there's only one president at a time. You know, Donald Trump is not now president. Now, he may have been president. He wrote some of those checks from the White House, you know, when he signed them. But he's not president right now. And as you mentioned, you talk about not getting justice. There's a consequence. Well, he'll be a felon. Well, there's not going to be any consequence to it other than he'll be a felon. And that doesn't quite do it for me, but apparently it's very upsetting to him. We also have more news on the other case with Donald Trump. Come back with us. We'll take more of your calls as well. Matt Rothschild joining me. Jess P.S. on the board, 855-752-4842. Not to put too fine a point on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Matt Rothschild joining me today, Jess P.S. on the board. I see you folks on the horn. Just sit tight. We will get to you, I promise. I want to get through this other topic regarding the president-elect, as the Washington Post is reporting. Justice Department says it won't release Trump classified document report, but AG Merrick Garland intends to make public the special counsel's report about Donald Trump's election interference case, according to a court filing. So this all stems, Matt, from Eileen Cannon jumping in and stopping the Justice Department from releasing these reports. Now, these two reports, and the one I get, the documents case, there's a couple other defendants involved in that. So I guess I kind of understand that. I'm not sure clear that she has any jurisdiction on it, but okay. But Garland has filed with the U.S. District Appeals Court in Atlanta to have this released. And this is what I care about the most. And I certainly don't want folks who are under investigation to be further, you know, prejudiced by some information getting out there. I can appreciate that. But Donald Trump's...
And of course, the bigger case is the January 6th case anyway.
Yeah. That's the one that really, really, really matters. And that's what I think people need to know about. And hopefully it'll come out not redacted. But this is going up to the appeals court who have, what, twice already in the last several years slapped down Trump-appointed Eileen Cannon, the judge out of Florida.
Yeah, and they're going to slap her down again. There's no way that she should be able to limit what Jack Smith is doing in the January 6th case. She wasn't presiding over the January 6th case. She's presiding over the documents case. You know, she can say, well, I don't want that to go public for whatever, and they're not even contesting that now. They just want the January 6th stuff to go public. And the fact that she's trying to put her claws all over that one, too, is just unbelievable to me. So I expect that the appellate court is going to swiftly say she's got no authority over this one.
According to the Washington Post, Smith, the special prosecutor, turned over the full report to Garland on Tuesday evening, typically the attorney general's decision to decide which parts to release. For now, the Wednesday filing says, today's filing, Garland intends to allow only the chairs and ranking minority party members of the House and Senate Judiciary Committees to review the classified documents volume and only after they agree not to release any information from it publicly. Come on, man.
Good luck with that, though. It would leak, and that stuff leaks. Washington is the biggest sieve anywhere in the country. But, you know, the prosecutors are also saying that Garland has the inherent authority to release the January 6th report. And yes. I do hope they end up releasing it. But the better course is to have the appellate court say, yes, you can release the January 6th report. And we, as citizens of this country, have a right to know what the prosecutor was finding in his January 6th report, even though there's obviously going to be no accountability for it. But we need to know what our president at the time was up to. Historians need to know, you know, what he was up to if we're going to have self-governance. And this is supposed to be about self-governance.
Transparent governance, right? A judiciary, right, that treats everybody equal. What a concept, man. It'd be really nice if we could actually have a country like that. I guess we'll keep working towards it. 8-5.
And he's got no right to say, you know, it's going to hurt my reputation. I mean, there's nothing that stands in the way for us learning what he was doing just because it's going to hurt his reputation. Then, you know, no prosecutor would ever be able to release a report. It's always going to hurt somebody's reputation.
Yeah. And Donald Trump, you're already a felon in the other case, man. So, you know, we'll see how it all plays out. And I think I would expect, and depends on, I would expect this would eventually come out. Perhaps not Friday, perhaps next week. You know, if the appeals court reacts quickly to this, which I expect they would, then it becomes a matter of redaction, right? How much of this are we actually going to get to see? And then, of course, and it also, do we have any leaking coming from some of these folks who will actually have the ability to review it? I'm sure there's some glaring facts that will jump out at some folks as they review this information that they'd be more than happy to share with folks after the fact. 855-752-4842. A couple folks holding on the lines. Let's get to them. John from Boaz, you are up. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
Hi. Good combination, you and Matt, for reporting on Donald Trump. He's compared to Adolf Hitler. For one thing, the fact is that they're extremely selfish. Mm. And Adolf Hitler tried to take over Czechoslovakia, Poland. Well, isn't Trump trying to take over Canada and Greenland?
Yeah. Don't forget Panama.
They're both madmen.
Don't forget Panama, John. And I appreciate the call, man. Love the fact that you're listening and hanging out with us. And I know some folks out there, Matt, get mad when folks on our side will say, oh, you know, Trump is Hitler, Trump, you know. Well, I would just remind them that the soon-to-be, or the vice president-elect, called Trump his
America's
boss.
America's Hitler.
America's Hitler.
Indeed.
I'm just repeating what, you know, the vice president-elect had to say. Matt, what do you think about those kinds of comparisons? I mean, certainly Come on, I mean, you know, Hitler was responsible for millions of deaths. If you believe the history, Trump's not quite there yet. But the mindset, the mentality, the narcissism, right? That's still there. That's certainly similar.
Yeah, you know, it's very worrisome. And the question I have is just how bad is it going to get in the next 4 years? It's going to get bad. We just don't know how bad it is. You know, when he talks about the enemies from within, when he scapegoats immigrants, when he talks about being dictator on day one, you know, these are all alarming signs. And there are a lot of other alarming signs he's given off over the last few years. And then, yeah, this craziness about Greenland and Canada and Panama. So, you know, we can laugh now. We'll be crying later if he follows through on a lot of it. But, you know, it's just, is his narcissism and his racism going to translate into just full-blown fascism? That's the question for us all to face in the coming years.
Yeah, and no question about it. And that's really going to come up to depend on his followers. You know what I mean? Because, you know, Donald Trump himself cannot be the, you know, cannot do all the things he wants to do. He needs people to do it. He has enablers, and he needs people to follow through on his orders. And if they do that, and he orders some crazy stuff, yeah, then we're going to be very concerned about what's going on. Now, if he fails as a president, if he loses MAGA, yeah, that's possible. It is possible Trump could, the MAGA could out-MAGA Trump. That is entirely possible. I think that is also a very worrisome situation. Mm-hmm. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvi Show. That is Matt Rothschild. We also have Jess P.S. on the board coming back with your calls as well. And some further sound that we did not get to yesterday from the Trump presser. Stick around, 855-75-CIVIC.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate you doing so. We got Matt Rothschild joining me today. Jess P.S. on the board. And stick around, our final segment today. Mike Clemens, Civic Media's own sports reporter, going to give us a few-minute update on the Packers and their chances against the Eagles this weekend. I haven't talked to Mike in a while. Looking forward to that. Get a little sports flavor in there. And if we have time, and I don't know if we will, well, maybe I have to ask about those awesome Lions. But, man, we got some callers. So be patient. We will get to you, 855-752-4842. All this chaos of Donald Trump. We talked about some of these cases and Eileen Cannon and the judgments, and he's putting this other one to the U.S. Supreme Court, and what's going to happen? Oh, and then he has this presser yesterday. He's going to take over Greenland, and he's going to take over Panama. Wouldn't guarantee that he wouldn't use force. Can't guarantee that, Matt. I mean, I'd really like to, but, you know, no guarantees. And you know, the reporting on this generally comes down to a couple different things, and one of them, the main theme I see is just chaos. You know, this guy's, it's chaos. Another theme that I see, Matt, is that he's trying to churn the subject away from perhaps campaign promises. And I brought this up yesterday, and I'm going to continue to do this. One of the things that why Trump was successful was he ran on inflation, right? The price of eggs, the price of milk, the price of all these things. Well, in the course of his rambling, crazy interview yesterday, he was actually asked about bringing down prices. And I think it we should focus on this for just a moment, if we can, please. Jess, let's play cut number one.
You vowed to bring down the prices at grocery stores very fast.
Yeah, we will
do
it fast.
But then you recently told Time magazine that bringing down prices would be very hard. So what can the American people expect when you get into offices?
It's always hard to bring down prices when somebody else has screwed something up like they did. But we'll bring them down. We'll get them down. Energy is going to bring down prices. We're going to have a lot of energy. And energy is what brought it up. Energy and their bad spending. is what brought it up, and energy is going to bring it down. We're going to have prices down. I think you're going to see some pretty drastic price reductions.
Oh,
as
yeah?
an example, food, bacon, ham, apples, everything is
carrots.
Going through the roof. It's one of the reasons I won. So as you know, I said it, inflation was one of the reasons I won. But I think the biggest reason I won was the fact that they are allowing prisoners to come into our country.
What?
They released their prisoners, their murderers. Thousands of murderers are now walking around the streets of our cities and
so
changing
prices?
The subject.
Prices, right. I'm going to bring them down fast. And it's hard. And
energy brought it up.
Energy brought it
and
up.
And energy will bring it down.
Huh. Okay. But we, as a country, have produced more energy under the Biden administration than we ever have in history.
And gas prices are low right now.
Below $3. Still higher than, you know, during the pandemic when nobody was driving. But okay. What else did he say? He blamed it on energy, but we have lots of oil and gas. That's not the problem. He blamed it on spending. Oh, okay, let's talk about spending for a minute. What is Donald Trump going to do on the spending front? He's going to spend more. He's going to spend more. He's already wants the debt ceiling erased. So Donald Trump's his solution to the inflation, which was caused by energy and spending, will be solved by energy and spending? And of course, the whole thing is, I'm going to do it fast, and it's going to be hard. Well, and it's somebody else.
Because the last guy was so bad, because
yeah,
he's blaming the last. He'll be blaming Biden, you know, for the next 4 years.
I wonder though, Matt. Do you think this topic sticks around the inflation? I think that is the driving force, more so than the border, more so than anything else. I think inflation is what got Donald Trump in there. He said he was going to fix it, and now. He's backpedaling. Oh, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard, Matt.
I mean, the economy's going to hurt him if he, spends through the roof, and if the tariffs, throw people out of work, and so that's going to be where the rubber's going to meet the road here. You know, I kind of agree with him on the debt limit, mostly because I'm just sick of covering that story every 3 months when there's a debt limit crisis for the last 20 years, the most boring story in Washington. But also, you know, someone like Janet Yellen, Secretary of the Treasury for Biden, said, you know, we should lift the debt limit thing. It's a crazy thing to keep our government hostage and threaten our bond ratings every 3 months. It's just stupid. So, you know, I don't blame him on the debt limit one, but this idea that he's going to be blaming Biden forever and now he's all saying, you know, it's hard to bring prices down when he was running. He basically said, I'm going to wave a magic wand and they're going to go down tomorrow.
He has lots of promises that he has told us he's going to do on day one. There's a list out there. Folks, Google it. There's 50. You know what I mean? And we'll see what actually comes to fruition. But when I talk about Trump potentially losing MAGA, you know, if he's unable to perform on some of the basic things he said he's going to do, like bring down the cost of eggs, well, you know, invading Panama and Greenland is not going to bring down the cost of eggs.
Forget about Canada.
Oh, I'm sorry. In Canada. We're just gonna...
But let's talk about MAGA a second, because there's a bloodlust among MAGA. Let's not underestimate the bloodlust that's out there. And that's why I think, you know, he's going to try to satiate the bloodlust by doing some really sadistic things with some immigrants here and, you know, dragging them out of their workplace, dragging them out of their home, you know, throwing them harshly into police cars, which he wants to see happen anyway. For everybody who's caught by the police and you know, breaking up families. We're going to have some performative sadism here that's really bothersome,
that's
really scaring me.
That's a great and unfortunate point you make there, Matt, to you know, give the people to give the people the games, you know, give them that, because it's going to be really hard for him to lower prices on eggs when you're picking up the egg labor and kicking them out of the country. You know,
right.
All those things are not going to go down in price if the labor cost to produce those products goes up. You know what right. I mean? Those things don't work together.
And so if that's not working for him, he's very attuned to that bloodlust. He knows what lines rile up the crowd. And at some point he's going to act on it, I'm afraid.
And it's going to be a balance, though. I mean, they have the bloodlust. I mean, I certainly get all that. But if folks continue to have their pocketbook issues, you know, sometimes some of that might go away. You know, hey, it's great. You're doing all these things. You're deporting all these people like you said you're going to do, Donald Trump. But now eggs are twice as much as they were when you got elected. What are you going to do about that? Oh, I'm going to bring them down hard and fast. Not really. Folks, right. You're listening.
Milk will be through the roof, too.
You're listening to the Dom Salve Show. That is Matt Rothschild joining me, Jess P.S. on the board. We'll get back to some of your comments here. 855-752-4842. Tom from Madtown, you're up. Welcome, Tom. What do you got for us?
Hey, guys. Great show.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, anytime the subject of comparing Trump to Hitler comes up, I always go back to the Jason Stanley book, How Fascism Works. And his grandmother, Ilse, was a part of the resistance in Berlin during World War II. So he comes from a pretty informed place. And it's step-by-step MAGA. It's, you know, creating a mythical pure state where everything was beautiful. It's getting rid of the free press and setting your own self up as the only source for truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's scapegoating immigrants. And one that really stuck out to me, it was lie so much that lying becomes normalized.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Trump 101.
Great observation, Tom. Thank you for making it. It seems to be a familiar playbook, Matt. You know what I mean? This fascist authoritarian playbook. It's not the first time anyone's done this. First time in my lifetime that the American people have fallen for it. Well, maybe second time. You know what I mean? I mean, come on. This is our country, and these are our representatives. And in many respects, if I've begrudgingly come to accept, is that this is a reflection of us, Matt, the MAGAs, Donald Trump. That's just what it is.
It's been amazing to me how many people swallowed the lies on January 6th. This is the big lie. This is the Joseph Goebbels big lie that you repeated often and often enough, as Tom says, and people, it's normalized or people start believing the lie. And the New York Times had a long story over the weekend about how Trump has distorted January 6th, even though we all saw it happen before our very eyes. And it's just, you know, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? And that's what it was. And I think Tom is right to point to Jason Stanley and other scholars of fascism that we need to read and recognize the signs as they're being revealed before us. Jason Stanley was in Madison just a few weeks before the election and gave a talk at a bookstore here. I saw him speak, and it's scary stuff, no doubt.
855-752-4842. Got a caller's holding. Be patient. I'll throw one more audio bit out there. And Matt, you had brought this one to my attention. The late President Jimmy Carter had an interview with Tom Hartman back in, let's see, when was that? 2015. Yeah, July of 2015. Talking about U.S. as an oligarchy. Damn. Let's hear that. Cut number two, please.
Political principles, for example.
Tom Hartman.
Our Supreme Court has now said, you know, unlimited money in politics. It seems a violation of principles of democracy. In the minute or so we have left, your thoughts on that?
It violates the essence of what made America a great country in its political system. Now it's just an oligarchy with unlimited political bribery being the essence of getting the nominations for president or the elected president. And the same thing applies to governors and U.S. senators and Congress members. So now we've just seen a complete subversion of our political system as a payoff to major contributors who want and expect and sometimes get favors for themselves after the election's over.
That's pretty profound stuff, huh?
Yeah, yeah. 2015.
I mean, here we have Jimmy Carter lying in state now, and there have been hundreds and hundreds of articles written about him. I want people who are writing articles about Jimmy Carter to mention this. He puts his finger on one of the biggest problems we have in our country, which is the Citizens United decision and other U.S. Supreme Court decisions that say, you know, money equals speech. And corporations are persons. I mean, he said it out loud. It violates the essence of who we are as a country, and we're now an oligarchy with unlimited political bribery. You know, you can't get much more serious than that. He called it subversion. It is subversion, and we got to attack this problem of money in politics, you know, no matter who is president.
Right.
I think Joe Biden, for instance, why in the world did he give an award to George Soros the other day, who gives money, you know, tons of money to the Democrats? That's unlimited political bribery there, too. I mean, or Elon Musk, $260 million Elon Musk meant to get Donald Trump elected president. Now we got a government of the billionaires, by the billionaires, for the billionaires.
And as our buddy L.A. Tom says, it's the money in politics. That is the core of all the problem. It's the money in politics. Everything else aside, we have certainly, you know, as a people, we have lots of issues to deal with, our racism and misogyny and our past. But politically speaking, when you have this kind of corruptive influence in our democracy, it's problematic and it needs to be addressed. And I don't know that we get out from under this until that is addressed. 855-752-4842. Matt from Middleton, you're up. Welcome, Matt. What do you got for us?
Hey, Matt and Dom. Thanks for all your work. We need you guys in these trying times.
Thanks, man.
I again want to point people to Argentina. This is the blueprint. This narco-capitalist Javier Milei is a maniac. And back to your comments about inflation. He was able to take power because Argentina was mismanaged for decades. Mm-hmm. Their inflation was over 30%. What he's talking about, and you're going to see what he does get echoed and talked about in the far right here, because the techno bros, Elon Musk and Peter Thiel, are good friends of this maniac, and they're talking about the same things that he is doing right now. The two I want to bring up is they are pushing 12-hour workdays, and they want these things called worker tickets to receive your payment from companies and corporations, like the robber barons did here in America.
Oh,
when you used to live on the grounds of a company and get a ticket.
Yeah.
Where you have to buy your essentials from that company.
The company store.
They're starting that in Argentina, and they want to bring it here.
Thanks for the call, Matt. Matt Rothschild, any comments?
Yeah, I mean, look. When you have government by the billionaires, they're going to want to bring everything back
yeah.
that they can. And we're just in the time machine now. We are going back to the robber baron era. And whether we respond with the new progressivism or not is a real question for us. I hope we do.
I hope we do as well. Folks, stick around. Coming up next, Mike Clemens, Civic Media's sports reporter. He's going to join us, talk a little Packers at the end of the show. Stick around.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for listening. Matt Rothschild, one last segment, jazzed as hell right now, to bring in Civic Media sports reporter Mike Clemens. It's been a while. Mike, welcome to the show. Happy New Year.
Hey, Dom. How are you?
I'm awesome. Well, I was really, really good until this last Packer game. I got to tell you something, man. The Bears have been covering almost all year long. They're covering the spread. So I wasn't surprised that the Bears covered the spread against the Packers. I was surprised that they outright won the game. Mike, what happened?
You know, there was, and I work for NFL Radio at Sirius, and during the week I got a producer and says, you know, unless hell freezes over and the Bears win, I think we just need this from the game. And, of course, you know what I'm texting to him as I'm walking down to the locker rooms after that, you know, Cairo Santos 51-yard field goal. You know, the critical point was a couple of these timeouts that Matt LaFleur called, and he's usually been pretty good mm-hmm. as a game manager in the last 2 minutes. But that last one he calls with 15 seconds. Caleb Williams, the rookie quarterback, I've got a soundbite from him where he says, hey, look, you know, we're coming down the field. We got that one completion, and the clock's running down, and I believe they'd run out of timeouts by then. There's 15 seconds left. They're trying to get into field goal range. And LaFleur calls a timeout with 15 seconds. Well, that just helped the Bears. That helped Caleb Williams, the quarterback, stand in the huddle and say, okay, DJ Moore, if they play you inside, break to the outside, go deep. If they play you outside, try to keep you from going to the sidelines, then just do a little glance route, as he calls it, you know, a little look and a little slant, and I'll hit you there. Well, that's the way they played him. Carrington Valentine tried to keep him from going out of bounds, and they ran that play, yep. And then they were able to clock it with 2 seconds and set up a winning field goal from 51 yards. And LaFleur should not have called a timeout there. He gave them more time.
It's a tough one to deal with. Usually a spot-on coach. Injuries also a problem. Mike Clemens, Civic Media sports reporter. When I saw Jordan Love go out, I was like, oh, God. And then the backup also got injured. What's happening? Now what?
Yeah, yeah. We just talked to Jordan about an hour or so ago. So he was actually limited in practice today. Mm. So I said, essentially, is this a funny bone? He goes, yeah, that's what happened. He slammed his elbow. He was getting wrapped up by number 99, one of the Bears defensive linemen. The elbow comes slamming down on the ground, and it left his hand numb, his right hand numb. Mm. And the problem is the pinky is still kind of numb, so the grip on the football is not 100%. He was limited in practice today, and so is his backup, Malik Willis. He jacked his right thumb, and so he was limited in participation today. But Jordan Love, you know, assured us he's going to play. He was kind of short with his answers today because I think he's sort of rolling his eyes about it. But there's been a fair amount of legit criticism as to it's interesting how the passing game has taken a back seat. After they got Josh Jacobs really going, particularly mm-hmm. in the first half of these games, with their run game, it seems to have hurt their play-action pass and the way that they're blocking and the way that they execute their passing. And then now they've lost Christian Watson.
I mean, well, right, an ACL out. I mean, I would think that if you have a successful running game, that helps the play-action. But what kind of an impact is Watson being out for the season going to be? Hell, he might never be a Packer again.
It's huge because those first couple of years, yeah, he had the ups and downs and hamstrings, but he played in 15 games this year. And it's, you know, 4.3 speed and a kid that's 6'3", he was the number one. I mean, he was the deep threat. And when you see him lined up, you could see safeties back up, and that would open up the way for Romeo Doubs, for Jaden Reed, number 11, over the middle, some of those short passes. So that's going to be a huge loss. And, you know, they can't replace him by Sunday,
yeah.
But obviously they're going to have to figure out ways to scheme to get other guys open if they want to, you know, have some success. You know what? The best that I've seen the Packers offense in the last couple of weeks or month or so was when they went to no-huddle offense those last couple of drives up in Minnesota. And, you know, it was too little too late. But when they went into a no-huddle, all those young players know what they're supposed to do, where they're supposed to be. And maybe if they could throw in one of those quick no-huddle series earlier in the game, that might throw off Vic Fangio's defense for the Eagles.
That's a great point. Mike Clemens, Civic Media sports reporter, joining me just for a couple more minutes. I'm seeing that the Packers are 4.5-point dogs at the Eagles. You know, what's it going to take? Play action? You know, no huddles? How do you think the Packers, what are they going to have to do to overcome?
You know, the Eagles, Nick Sirianni was almost in trouble losing his job about a year ago. And so offseason, you know what he does? He adds Vic Fangio. He comes from the Dolphins. But Vic is one of the best-known defensive coordinators in the NFL. And he's just very detailed. And I asked LaFleur about that. So how's this guy been in the league so long, and what's unique about it? He says, you know, he changes his game plan from week to week. But if he says, okay, this is the week we're going to pressure the quarterback more, he makes adjustments to the rest of the defense that complement that. Mm-hmm. So you know, he doesn't leave any open gaps. And then, you know, the offensive coordinator is Kellen Moore. That's the guy who was the offensive coordinator, the play caller for the Cowboys, when the Cowboys had things going the last 2 or 3 years. And McCarthy moved on from him and took that, you know, took over that playbook in Dallas, and then Dak Prescott got injured. But that's really helped, you know, with Jalen Hurts, and then of course they had Saquon Barkley, who ended up being the best running back of the league, record setting. And I was talking to Edgerrin Cooper, the rookie linebacker, today. I said, so, you know, when this guy, do you just stick to your basic fundamentals on how to tackle a guy? Or he said, no, you know, there's all kinds of other things we're going to have to think of because he's so quick with his moves. And I said, you know, if you look around and you can't find him, you might want to look up. Remember that one play where he went airborne over to a couple of guys? Yeah, look up.
Look up. Mike Clemens, a Civic Media sports reporter, thank you so much for joining us and giving us the rundown Packers-Eagles this weekend. Safe travels, my friend. Great to hear from you. Thank you for joining us. Matt Rothschild, it's a Wednesday. Thank you for being around, man. Always a pleasure. Hope to catch up with you again next week. Jess P.S. on the board. Thank you for everything you do. Folks, tomorrow, James Santel. We're flipping days. James will join me tomorrow. Earl Ingram on Friday. Now stick around. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba is coming up next. Have a great night.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.